Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the book of Ezra. We are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And after our initial two mini shiurim, where we just introduced Sefer Ezra altogether, yesterday we started on the book itself. We saw the opening four sentences in which Cyrus issues a decree after having conquered the Babylonians, telling the Jews that Hashem has told him to send the Jews back to their land, telling them that they should build the Beis HaMikdash. We noted that Cyrus is not necessarily doing this as a religious act. We saw evidence that Cyrus did this with other nations he conquered as well, claiming to be an agent of their god, building their temple. This is a smart political strategy because, you know, when you conquer people, you can spend your time trying to keep them in line and spend your resources trying to keep them in line and deal with a hostile population. But it's a lot better if you're able to convince them that you are actually an agent of their god, working for their god, and the things you are doing are sent by their god. And remember that we said that Cyrus's rise was predicted already by Yeshaya. Him sending the Jews back to Israel was predicted in Yeshaya. And we said that this is actually, Yeshaya said that Cyrus does not know Hashem. He's not aware of Hashem. Lo yidatani, you don't know me, God says. Cyrus thinks that he is acting politically, but in fact, what he's doing is what Hashem is telling him to do. That was something that we started to develop yesterday. It'll come back in different ways in the course of our learning of Ezra. But what I want to do this morning is go through those opening four sentences, Cyrus's message, in a little bit more depth to see some interesting notes. So if you have a book of Ezra, this will be a lot more clear. Uvishnas achaz l'choresh melech paras. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Notice that it begins with and. Mrs. Saltzman, aleha shalom, when I was in second grade, told me not to start sentences with and or but. Certainly not to start a book with and. And yet, that's exactly what happens here. Ubishnas, and in the first year of Cyrus. You're just like thrown right into it. That supports the idea that the book of Ezra is meant to continue from either Divrei Hayamim, which Ezra also wrote, which recorded the chronicle of the Jews' experience up to Cyrus sending us back for the second Beis HaMikdash. So that book is written by Ezra. This book here continues right from there. Or alternatively, from the end of Daniel, which has a prediction of when the, it ends with prediction of Tchias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead. But it could be continuation from there. Malbim, in his introduction to Sefer Ezra, notes this. We're starting with and continuing from some book that came before this. And we say that it is, Bishnas Achas, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, meaning the first year after his conquest of Babel, not his first year on the throne. But it's very interesting because it demonstrates that this is an immediate priority for Cyrus. He conquers the Babylonians. Job one, send the Jews home, which, knowing that this is being driven by Hashem, makes a lot of sense. So it's the first year, Lechlos Devar Hashem mipi Yirmiyah, at the conclusion of the word of God in the mouth of Yirmiyahu, meaning Yirmiyahu's prediction that we would be in exile for 70 years, when that 70-year period has finally completed. So, Heir Hashem es Ruach Koresh Melech Paras. Hashem aroused the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. That's a very interesting turn of phrase. God aroused his spirit. What exactly does that mean? What sort of, is this nevuah? Is this prophecy? So it's worth noting that this phrase is only found in Tanakh writings, as far as I have found, in Cyrus returning the Jews, and in Yirmiyahu chapter 51, in which he describes God sending the nation of Madai, Media, against Babel. That also occurred in this era. That's right. You know, when Cyrus conquered the Babylonians, we're told it was with the help of Madai. So what that means is it's a style of divine inspiration which is unique to this era. It's not something like the way Hashem communicated with others and sent prophecy to others before this. It reminds me of a comment by the Rambam and a comment by Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch. The Rambam in the Mora Nevuchim, in the Guide of the Perplexed, in the first volume of Mora Nevuchim, it's Aleph Mem He, talks about the levels of Nevuah, the levels of prophecy. And he says the lowest level of prophecy is Sheyilavela Ish Ezer Eloki. I'm not sure why I'm reading the Hebrew. Mora Nevuchim was written in Arabic, so I could just skip to my English translation of it. So that's what I'm going to do. The first prophetic level is for divine aid to accompany a person, moving and energizing him to a great positive deed, like saving an important group of people from evildoers, saving a great important person, benefiting a large number of people. He will find something moving him to action, and this is called Ruach Hashem, the Spirit of God. And regarding one who is accompanied by this, the text will say, the Spirit of God was powerful upon him, the Spirit of God clothed him, the Spirit of God rested upon him, God was with him, and similar expressions. So then he goes on to say, this was the level of the Shoftim, of the judges, Hashem was with them. And the key part of this is, none of these people who experienced this were moved to state anything, to say any prophetic message. That's not what this is. The purpose of this force, I'm translating the Rambam, is to awaken the strengthened person to a specific action. The point is to get him to do something. That's what we're talking about here with Heir Hashem Es Ruach Koresh. It's a very low level of, but it is a level of, some kind of inspiration that Hashem is saying to move him to do something. He isn't even necessarily aware of it. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, in his comments in Parshas Truma, when he's talking about also Hashem's influence, this is Shmos Chaf Hei Lamites, for those who want to look it up, talks about how when Sanherib, the Assyrian king, invades and ultimately conquers the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, the Pasuk says, it's Malachim Beis Yutes Zayin, Hinanino Sein Bo Ruach. Hashem says, I am putting a spirit into Sanherib. There in that Pasuk, it's when Sanherib invades, and then he moves on to attack Yerushalayim. He wants to move on to attack Yerushalayim, and instead he ends up going home. So there Hashem says, Hinanino Sein Bo Ruach, I am putting spirit into him, Vishav La'artzo, and he's going home. And then regarding Koresh, regarding Cyrus, you get our pasuk, Heir Hashem Es Ruach Koresh, Hashem aroused the spirit of Cyrus. Specifically, Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch writes, to get the Jews to go to Yerushalayim. And what Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch writes here is that in these cases where you get this kind of expression of God putting a spirit into somebody, it doesn't mean that Hashem gives him some kind of an intellectual understanding of what he's doing as a mission from God. Ela hakoach hameinia es haratzon lemaase tov o ra mibichina musarit. It is a force that moves his will to a deed that is ethically good or ethically bad, whatever it may be. But Hashem is driving what the person is doing without the person being aware of it. So that fits with the idea that what's going on here is Cyrus does not know Hashem. Cyrus thinks he's doing it as a smart politician, but Hashem is moving him to do this. That's what we're getting out of the opening sentence. So, in his first year on the throne of Babylon, his first year after having conquered Babylon, Cyrus says, I am sending the Jews back to their land. And then it says, Vayaver kol b'chol malchuso. He sent a message throughout his entire empire, v'gam b'michtav, as well as in writing. So, we just finished Purim, right? What does that bring to mind for us? Remember the Persian practice, according to Ahasuerus. Once something is written in the name of the king, ki chesav asher nechtav b'shem hamelech, right? Once the text is written in the name of the king, it is irrevocable. It cannot be changed. So not only does he send this as a verbal message, but it is in writing, and that matters. Of course, this decree actually will be revoked in chapter 4, and that's going to be something we'll have to discuss there. So what is his message? Ko amar koresh melech paras. So declares Cyrus, king of Persia. Kol mamlechos haaretz nasan li Hashem Elokei hashamayim. All of the nations of the land, the God of the heavens has given to me. The Gemara in Megillah, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, 11b, says that he's just boasting when he says all the nations of the land. Cyrus is not among the kings who gets credit for ruling the entire world. Okay, he had a pretty nice empire. God of the heavens. He calls Hashem God of the heavens, not God of the land. So Professor Zer Kavod in the Dat Mikra edition of Ezra suggests that he actually is referring to the highest Persian god, Ahura Mazda, who is, among other things, the god of the heavens. Could be. Someone, when I taught this years ago, suggested that, remember that the Tower of Babel, which he has now conquered, was against the God of the heavens, according to the Medrash. Let's go up to the heavens and fight against Hashem. But Ibn Ezra here gives a simple explanation. Ibn Ezra says, Cyrus is declaring that God has given him all of the lands, kol mamlechos haaretz, all of the land, empires of the land, God has given me. So what's left for Hashem? Right? God in the heavens. That's all that's left. Now he is called Elokei HaShamayim. That does sound a little bit arrogant. However, if you were to look in Parshas Chaye Sara, when Avram speaks to Eliezer and tells Eliezer, or whoever that servant is, to go find a wife for Yitzchak, he initially tells the servant, I'm just looking it up, Bereishis chapter 24, sentence 3, Vashbiacha, I want you to swear, Bashem Elokei Hashemayim veElokei Haaretz, I want you to swear by Hashem, God of the heavens and God of the earth, not to take a wife for my son from the Canaanites. But then, in sentence 7, he says, Hashem Elokei Hashemayim, Hashem, God of the heavens, who took me from Aram, and who spoke to me and who swore to me, I'm giving your children this land. So when Abraham says Hashem is giving me this land, he also calls Hashem Elokei Hashamayim, just like what we saw Cyrus do here. Note that Rashi in Bereishis gives a different explanation for why Avram switches from Shemayim and Eretz to just Shemayim. But in any case, coming back to our passage here, he says, Hashem, God of the heavens, has commanded me, right? As we see in Yeshaya, this actually is a command from Hashem, to send the Jews back to build the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going back to the Pasuk itself. The Hupakad Allah, he commanded me, Livnos lo bayis birushalayim asher beYehuda, to build a house for him in Jerusalem that is in Yehud, that is in Judea. And then in sentence 3, he says, Mi bachem mikol amo, who is it among you from his entire nation, Yehi Elokav imo, may his God be with him, V'yal Yerushalayim asher beYehuda, may he ascend to Jerusalem that is in Yehuda. Why does he keep calling it Jerusalem in Yehuda? So, or in Judea, I should say, be consistent. Jerusalem, Judea, or Yehuda, Yerushalayim. So Professor Zer Kavod in Da'an Mikra says that it may be because his scribes were not familiar with Yerushalayim. That could be. But it also helps us out because no one can claim later, oh, it was a different location. It wasn't that Jerusalem. It was Jerusalem, Ohio, or something along those lines. So he says, we should go back, we should build the house of Hashem, the God in Jerusalem. And then he says, V'chol ha-nish'ar mikol ha-mekamos asher hu gar sham, all who remain from all the places where these Jews live, yinase'uhu anshei mekamo, the people of the land, the people who live there, the non-Jews, should support him, should elevate him with silver, with gold, with property, with animals, with a gift to the house of God that is in Yerushalayim. Why in the world would these nations support the Jewish return? So Rashi says, because they benefit from the karbanos that we bring. That's one possibility. But worth noting, and Professor Zer Kavod notes this, this is also a parallel to Yetzias Mitzrayim, to the Egyptians giving us wealth when we left Egypt. So too here, Hashem is encouraging us by saying, look, I saved you once before, and you are like those Jews who emerged from Egypt. I have a few more thoughts to add. God willing, we'll come back to that tomorrow to wrap up this opening message from Cyrus.